Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon here today. Solo, you get Dr. Jerry the whole show. Dr. Umat is off doing something exciting, and she will be back with us next week.
Next week, she'll be here and I'll be gone.
That's right. Kind of doing the tag team thing. So welcome. Dr. Mixon, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was quite pleasant.
Good. And did you do the turkey? I heard rumors.
I did the turkey, and best case occurred. I did not poison anyone.
Good. No one got sick, and it wasn't too dry.
That's right. No. It was quite moist, in fact.
Good.
My wife saw me preparing the turkey, and she came up with all of her rather odd Chinese spices. She wanted to add this and that. And so it was a different turkey with a distinct Chinese flavor.
Good. And then did you have interesting leftovers over the next couple of days?
Over the next few days, yeah.
The turkey.
We had a couple of guests. We had a mother-daughter whose husband and father are in China right now. And he's in the aeronautics industry, and so he's not allowed to leave China for the moment.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, they've decided that he knows things we're not supposed to know.
His
family is here, and he doesn't know when he'll get out of China.
Wow, and they can just do that. Wow.
They can just do that.
They can.
It's a one-party state, you know.
All right.
If you argue with a party, that is the definition of sedition, and they put you in prison. So, no. The party says, do this. You say, yes, sir.
Okay,
of course. That's what I wanted to do anyway.
I was thinking of doing that anyway. All right. You know what, Dr. Mixon, I know you've got a letter there that you had gotten from someone. But before we do that, let me give the phone number so that you can get into the call queue if you've got questions about aging or your health. Of course, these are Dr. Mixon's specialties as we're aging. All of those things that used to be easy for us are a little harder now. Give us a call. Maybe a diagnosis that you had or some test results you don't quite understand. Please give us a call today. Dr. Mixon is here for you. 206-421-5757 is the number. That's 206-421-5757. And go ahead and give us a call so we can get to you right away. All right. So, Dr. Mixon, you had some information.
Well, I got an email this morning, actually. I probably came in late last night, but I didn't see it till 6 or so this morning. And he had an interesting question. He said, why do Ozempic and Wegovy seem to treat everything? From Alzheimer's disease to depression to heart disease, Ozempic and other GLP-1 agonist drugs appear to offer a solution. Can one type of drug really tackle so many conditions? And if so, how does it actually work? Great question. And it's true, we are finding that these drugs are improving kidney dysfunction, heart failure, atherosclerosis, joint diseases, depression, chronic fatigue, anxiety issues, sleep disorders. They're helping all kinds of stuff. And the reason is simple. they're decreasing appetite, and that in turn is decreasing weight. I don't know how many times on this show over the last 28 years I've tried to get across to people that you cannot be healthy and overweight at the same time. Being overweight is in and of itself a physical pathology. And the heavier you are, the higher your risk of dementia, heart attacks, strokes, congestive heart failure, degenerative joint disease, diabetes, kidney failure, vision loss, depression, sleep disorders. Being overweight is a killer. Okay? It's not a cosmetic thing. It's not a matter of getting your beach body. It's a matter of saving your life and giving you a healthy life. We are the healthiest, we are the fattest industrialized nation on earth, and we are the only industrialized nation on earth that actually has a falling lifespan. Okay? We are getting sicker younger, we're staying sicker longer, and we're dying younger of a variety of diseases, all related to being overweight. It's not magic. For the first time in history, we've got some drugs that appear to be reasonably safe. I said reasonably safe because there are side effects, and some people have been hospitalized, and a few people have even had problems from which they died as a consequence of the drugs. These are not totally innocuous. Okay? Taking the drugs is a trade-off. You're spending money. You're altering your metabolism. You will decrease your appetite. Food will not taste as good. You won't want to eat as much. And the very fact that you are then going into weight loss mode is going to make you healthier in essentially every single aspect of your physiology, from your brain all the way down to your toes. Okay? So, yeah, the drugs are miracle workers in a sense, mm-hmm. but the miracle is based on weight loss.
Okay, that's just because of the weight loss, yeah. so many other good things happen to
yes.
our bodies.
You decrease the amount of food you want to eat, and that decrease in food intake results in all of those things, from improving your kidney disease, your congestive heart failure, your brain dysfunction, your depression, your strokes, your heart attacks, your degenerative arthritis, your diabetes.
Wow.
They're all related to too many calories going in and not enough calories going out.
Okay. So you lose the weight, and then all of a sudden?
And all the other stuff improves.
Very yeah. good. Wow.
Yeah. But it's even before you've lost the weight. The very fact that you're eating less, the low calorie intake, is altering your metabolism.
And that should show you that that is important.
It's extremely important.
You do not need to eat as much as Americans eat.
Yeah, the biggest problem I've got with these drugs is, A, they do have side effects. They do mm-hmm. have adverse effects. Not everybody can take them. And B, they cost too darn much.
Yes, very expensive.
You know, I know a guy who actually puts this stuff together for a compounding pharmacist. He tells me that he does a month supply for $6. That's his cost.
$6, not $1,000.
That covers the medication
Whoa.
And his staff.
Wow.
$6. He then sells it to the compounding pharmacies for $100 to $125, and they sell it to their customers for $175 to $200, $250, and Big Pharma selling it for $1,000 to $1,200.
Yes, even more sometimes. Wow.
So they, you know, the drugs are useful.
They're
but
doing
again,
something, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing good things. The problem is the cost.
Okay.
The cost. And, you know, for our patients, yeah, we're giving it to our patients at our cost. So we have no markup at all when our patients want the drugs now. They get them at our cost. So, you know, that makes it a lot simpler. So if and that changes every month. So if I get if I have to pay $150 this month, my patients pay $150. If I have to pay $200, the patient pays $200. And as the price goes up and down with supply and demand, you know, but we make nothing. We think this is so important. Mm-hmm. We pass it on to our patients at our price.
Wow.
That's one of the benefits of being a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yep, just one of the benefits.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Mixon, as you say, as you're getting healthier and noticing patients getting healthier, losing the weight, symptoms are going away, would that affect some of the medications that they were on when they...
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yes. Sure. And especially as the weight goes down.
Mm-hmm.
A drug that was well adjusted for you at one weight, if you lose 50 pounds... That same dose may be an overdose.
Ah, too much. So that's important to keep.
Yeah, so as you're losing weight, you need to keep track with the doctors that are writing your prescriptions because, yeah, you can end up in trouble. It's just a matter of, you know, how much body mass you're diluting the drug into.
Okay. All right. This is good information, Dr. Mixon. And look, we already have several callers on the line. I'll give that phone number again, 206-421-5757. Let's get our first question. Then we'll go to break and then come back. Is that a good plan,
Sounds
Dr.
okay
Mixon?
With me.
All right. We're headed to Shoreline. Steve is our first caller today. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hello, Steve. How can I help?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Dr. Mixon, I just recently had a lipid panel done, and I had not only the basic cholesterol done, but the lipoprotein, the fractionation test on the LDL.
Good.
And I want you to help me understand the results.
All right. I wish Samara were here because this is her strong suit.
I think you're going to know enough to help me, though.
Okay, so should we talk about the results of the test right after this break? Would that be good?
Let's do it.
Okay, so stay right there, Steve and Michael. We're going to get to your call, too, and Arlie, you as well. Here is that phone number. It's 206-421-5757 to get into our call queue. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Welcome back. Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, taking your phone calls, taking your questions at 1-206-421-5757. Going to talk about those LDL results with Steve.
That's
okay,
right.
Dr. Mixon?
Okay.
Hi there.
Okay,
well,
so, Steve.
Okay.
Give us those numbers.
Tell me about your test.
I don't want to overwhelm you with numbers, you know, but I've had... my cholesterol has been over 200 for a while now. It came out at 226 just recently. Triglycerides 130. LDL is 136. So, you know, he wanted to put me on statins right away, and I asked him to do a fractionation test before we even discussed that. And it looks like the results are not very good. but I don't quite understand them, and if you could tell me if I do indeed need to go on statins, I'd appreciate it. So the first result from the fractionation test is LDL particle number.
Yes.
And normal value is supposed to be less than 1,138, and I think that's nanomoles per liter. And mine was 2,157. Small LDL particles is supposed to be less than 142 minus 460.
Ooh.
LDL medium particles is supposed to be less than 215 minus 418. large LDL seems to be within the normal parameters. And LDL density pattern, it says normal value is A pattern, and I have B pattern. So, and an LDL size is 212, which is, it's supposed to be greater than 222. So, am I up the proverbial creek here?
You're at risk. Yeah, here's your issue.
Yeah.
The intima, the lining of the arteries, is supposed to be nice and smooth. There's supposed to be a tight junction between the cells so that not much gets through. But nothing is perfect. And the smaller the LDL particles, the higher the chance that they'll sneak through the intima and get laid down underneath the lining of the artery and form a plaque. So the more, the smaller the particles you've got, and the more small particles you've got, the higher the risk of developing atherosclerotic heart disease. And, and so that's basically what's going on. And so they break these down into large, medium, small, and very small. And the very small is the worst. The small is not quite as bad. And the medium and the large are the better ones you're going to have. The low-density lipoproteins, that's often known, are those. And there's that, the HDL, the high-density lipoproteins, and those actually be more protective against heart disease. So you want plenty of HDL and as little of the LDL as practical, and certainly the smaller LDL particles are the worst in the whole bunch. So you need to do everything you can to protect yourself.
Okay.
In somebody with your pattern, I would normally recommend a triple approach. I would do a statin, which is, of the things I'm going to suggest, the least effective, but the standard. Okay. I would make sure you had a robust testosterone level.
Yeah,
and I'd keep you on a PDE5 inhibitor. Something
and what
like
is that, sir?
A PDE5 inhibitor. Things like Cialis, Tadalafil.
Yeah, I take Tadalafil every night, every evening.
Good, yeah. You know, there's a fascinating study. The people that have the highest risk on the planet for heart disease, other than those with serious genetic defects, are diabetics. You know, their risk of having heart attacks or strokes is about three times that of non-diabetics. And a fascinating study done on diabetic men between the ages of 60 and 80. And what they showed was that over the course of the study, men who did not do any of those three things, the statins, the testosterone, or the PDE5 inhibitor, 30% of them died of a heart attack during the study. If they went on a statin, we lowered that risk by about 7 or 8%. If they went on testosterone, they lowered the risk by about 20%. And if they went on a PDE5 inhibitor, they lowered the risk by 30%. And if they went on all three, the statin, the testosterone, and the PDE5 inhibitor, their risk of dying dropped from 30% to 2%.
Okay. And this is all preventive, doctor. But right now, am I in danger of actually having coronary blockage because of these numbers? I'm 68. I'm 5'4", 126 pounds. My A1C was 5.1. I mean, I'm relatively healthy, but am I past the point of no return at this point?
No, you are not past the point of no return. There was the studies I just gave you were people that were a super high-risk diabetics.
Okay.
And so even them, we were able to drop it from 30% risk down to 2%. And of course, virtually all of our patients are on at least the testosterone and the PDE5 inhibitors. Our risk in our clinic is quite low. But because of your numbers, I'd probably throw you on the statin too.
You would.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I do that, doctor, I've heard some not so great things about the statins. What can I do to prevent the brain fog and muscle weakness?
Two things. One is make sure you use plenty of coenzyme Q10. I'd get your coenzyme Q10 dose up around 400 milligrams a day.
Okay.
Okay. And then you want to use the lowest dose of the statin that you can to get your numbers within a reasonable range.
Okay.
Statins,
is there a preferable statin drug that I know there are a number of different statins.
There's a number of them out there, and it doesn't seem to make much rhyme or reason. People who have an adverse effect from one, if you switch them to a different one, they've got a good chance of not having an adverse reaction to the second one. And yet it's not one or the other. If they had their adverse reaction on drug number two and you switch them to one, they also tend to do better. So,
But you don't have a preference.
Well, I sometimes wonder if it's the difference in the drug or if you just had to give them time to accommodate. You know, they had an adverse reaction. Mm-hmm. You took them off for a while and then you put them back on. And the second time they did better. And my guess is it may not make a difference which one you put them back on. For some reason, it seems to be the drug holiday and then the return that they seem to have fewer side effects. And I'm not quite sure why we would accommodate to it, but it's just an observation.
So I should trust the doctor as per which statin I go on?
Yes. Yeah. Always trust your doctor. But then here's the old thing that Reagan used to say, trust but verify.
Yes.
Verify, yeah. How quick of a turnaround on these numbers might I see if I do all of these things?
I always give it at least 3 months.
Yeah.
To take a look. And things you might consider are things like niacin.
Niacin, yeah.
Yeah, niacin.
I take a B complex, which has niacin in it.
Good. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, niacin seems to help a significant number of people.
Okay. And would fish oil omega-3s help me or hurt me with the cholesterol numbers?
No, it's not going to hurt. As long as you keep the dose under 3,000 or 4,000 milligrams a day of omega-3s, you're not going to raise your triglycerides.
I'm way under that. Okay. Well, thank you. It was a rather sobering to get the results, but you know, I wanted to avoid the statins. But
that's why we keep recommending people get it done, though. You know, ignorance ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is just ignorance. So let's.
Well, it's bliss until it hits you in the face. Yeah. Okay. Right. Hey, thanks for being there. I appreciate it.
Take care, sir.
Thank you for the call, Steve. Okay, we are coming up on another commercial break here. So we will take the break and we will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And we have Michael on the line in just a moment. Then Arlie, if you'd like to get into the call queue, you can. Here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5.
Have you ever worked just 9 to 5?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think I have either. 9 to 5.
Yeah, I go by the philosophy that the staff works from 9 to 5. The boss works till the job is done, and the job is never really done.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Jerry Mixon. If you just joined us, here's that phone number to call to get in with your questions today. We'll get you in that call queue. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. And we are headed right over to Seattle. We have Michael on the line for you, Dr. Mixon.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for doing what you do. So I was in the queue. I was doing my normal push-ups and sit-ups, like I'm sure most of your callers. I'm a 76-year-old, close to your age, and health and fitness nut for going back at least 16 years. And I've had normal blood pressure forever. And just going about a month ago, I had to start a series of two dental visits, and they check your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. I was astonished. I thought their equipment was wrong. I was getting, 168, 180, and they were actually correct. And I've tested it at home a number of times over the last couple of days. So something has caused my blood pressure to rise alarmingly. Yeah. So I'm wondering what could cause that.
And first thought, your age, kidney.
Right, and I've already called the urologist. That's what I was hoping you wouldn't say, but yeah.
Yeah, and of course, the urologist is more, his function is more from the ureters down, bladder, prostate, etc.
Right. My particular guy is a kidney specialist, too.
Okay,
and there's a side story that I had a radical cystectomy 14 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was told at the time that the wonderful surgeon gave me a 20-year warranty on my kidneys.
Okay.
And it was about in year 15. So, of course, we need to check that out. But I've had perfect kidney function as recent as, 1 year ago. So that'll be checked out, certainly. So,
because the thing I always worry about is if the blood supply, if the kidney itself can be fine, but if the arterial supply into one kidney or the other is diminished, if it's narrowed, that will kick blood pressure way, way up. So,
right.
But, you don't know till you look. So it sounds to me like you've already picked the right guy to look at it.
Yeah. And now my other question is, if I'm walking around now for the past few months not knowing at 176 over 98, that was this morning, is this doing any daily damage? Nobody told me to go to the ER, but is this causing harm?
Probably not, although I would be a little cautious with your exercise. You're probably fine with your walking, jogging, push-ups, but I would not do bench presses, heavy lifting, because that tends to kick blood pressure way up. So when you're straining muscle, especially if you're pushing stuff over your head, I can almost promise your blood pressure is going to peak 200 plus. So, but the danger with high blood pressure is not usually the acute rise. The short-term rise, the vessels tend to be flexible and pliable enough that it's not a problem. The problem is the chronic elevation causes the blood vessels to go bad over time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the short-term rises, it's the long-term elevation that stays there month after month, year after year, that causes the long-term problems.
Okay. And lastly, I'll be seeing the doc, but my creatinine was great and EGFR. And will those two things show the decline in kidney function? Are those the two major measures?
Yeah. If your creatinine is, under 1.2 or 1.3, and if your EGFR is over 60, you're doing okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And I had one incidental. What clinic does your Dr. Brazel work at?
She is here in the Kirkland Clinic.
Okay. Thank you. I was going to reach out to her. I've done some tests at your clinic, and I intend to sign up soon. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for the call there, Steve. Okay. That was Michael. We have Arlie on the line for Dr. Mixon. And if you'd like to get into the call queue, now's the time. 206-421-5757 for Leading Edge Medicine. Hi, Arlie.
Arlie, I have not heard that name before.
Oh, good morning, guys. This is this is one of those calls that were prompted by your first hour this morning when they were talking about a biologic that seems to cover a whole bunch of things. Well,
yeah.
I've tried a lot of things and I've turned down a biologic called Entyvio because it's supposed to cure my colitis, but it's also got a 50% failure rate, which is not interesting to me. I run across something called methylene blue that I've been fascinated with because it claims similar to what some of the biologics, it covers a lot of things. And I wondered if you had any familiarity with methylene blue. It's been around for years. I used it in a biology lab in college as a stain, but now they say it's a therapeutic. Do you know anything about it?
Vaguely. Yeah, methylene blue has been used off and on. There were some studies on it, golly gee, decades ago. The problem with compounds such as methylene blue is they're dirt cheap and nobody can patent them. And so there's limited amount of research being done simply because no one will fund the research.
Yeah, and that's understandable. I mean, you have to follow the money, and if there's no money, there's no... But it's got a rather remarkable long history of effectiveness, clearing back to World War One.
Yes.
And I thought, geez, why do we keep this? Well, is it just the pharmaceutical speculation or what?
And that's my suspicion. There's a whole lot of stuff that could probably be repurposed if there was a way to make it profitable. But getting a compound through the FDA is multiple hundreds of millions of dollars. Some drugs are over $1 billion to get them developed and through the FDA. And if you're the CEO of a company, you're not about to go to your board and say, look, I'd like to spend $700 million of our profits on doing research on a drug for which we have no chance in hell of ever getting our money back.
Let's look at the therapeutic value to the public in general. That's what I'm looking at. Maybe that's why Kennedy is going to be help in the new administration.
Because
somebody's got to start thinking, if we're going to spend $20 billion on Ukraine, maybe we could blow a little of that on testing things and making the FDA or whatever regulatory agencies we have effective for the public, not for the dollar, but for public benefit.
Yeah, well, the public benefit always follows the dollars. This is a human trait. It's been going on as long as there have been human beings. You know, you always look for where is the profit. The fact is that your best shot at getting some of these things tested is to lower the cost of getting it through the FDA.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know why it would cost millions of dollars to get a couple of hundred people sit down and do some testing. But anyway, I don't know anything about the dollar figures. I'm a relatively financially squeezed man because of the inflation. So I'm looking for alternative medicines to get a handle on my colitis and a few other things. So
yes, and I can't give you a lot of guidance on the methylene blue because I haven't spent a lot of time looking at it. Last time I did look at it was a decade or two ago, and there just wasn't a lot in the literature. There, you know, all the things that I found were very old studies, 1940s, 1950s, a couple of things from the 30s, very rudimentary by today's standards.
So, yeah, it's even hard to find in pharmacies or in supplement stores. Matter of fact, I called Paramount and ask them if they have anything like methylene blue, and they hung up on me. Didn't even answer the call.
They don't have it. Where you'd get it would be from a chemical supply house. People that are...
Well, I wanted the USP grade, which I have a bottle of in front of me that just come in from Amazon, but I'm not so sure about the country of origin or anything else, but it's a fascinating subject, and if you get a chance to do any dives on it in the next month or so, I listen to you every Saturday morning, all 4 hours.
Okay.
So I'll keep posted.
Well, tell you what, I will write myself a note from the first show this morning. I put one thing in to look at. I will jot a note this very moment for methylene blue, and that'll be the second thing today that I've added to my list, okay?
Dr. Mixon, I appreciate both your knowledge and your integrity. It makes a lot of difference for those of us out here that depend on good medical advice from unbiased people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll do our best. Unfortunately, Dr. Mixon does not have unlimited time or resources. I do have the clinics that are my primary focus in life.
And a big brain, Dr. Mixon.
But I'll add as time permits. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Arlie. All right, phone lines are open. We're going to take your calls. You got to get them in while Dr. Mixon is here before he takes a break for Christmas. Here is that number, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your calls right after this. Dr. Jerry Mixon, and yes. I'm wearing the headphones, so I get headphone hair, but Dr. Mixon, you don't have the...
I just have the earbud.
Yeah, you have the earbud. All right. We're taking your calls at 206-421-5757. Before we get to our next caller, Dr. Mixon, one caller had a question concerning Sjogren's.
Okay.
Sjogren's disease or immune.
It's an autoimmune.
Yeah. She has the dry mouth, lump in her throat, always difficult to swallow. And
Sjogren's syndrome is an autoimmune process in which basically all of the secretions in your body are drying up. You make antibodies to all of the glands that make saliva, for instance, so your mouth gets dry. The tears you don't produce, so your eyes get dry. You don't make the oil glands in your skin are not producing properly, so you get dry, irritated, scratchy, itchy skin all the time. More importantly, the secretions down in your gut start getting dry, so you're not digesting food properly. Constipation starts developing. So it is a serious autoimmune disease. Some people have mild cases. Some people have very, very serious cases of it. It's like everything else in the world. It comes in a variety of flavors. The appropriate person to see for this is a rheumatologist.
Okay.
They do the autoimmune diseases, some of the biologics that are out now that help to suppress immune activity will decrease the symptoms significantly. The problem is the biologics in the process, yes, they suppress your body's ability to attack itself, but they also suppress the ability to attack things that are invading you. So the risk of cancer goes up, the risk of infections, everything from flu to bacterial infections to tooth problems and so on, all go up. So, it's a trade-off. You want to use the least potent biologic that'll do the job, depending on how severe her problem is. Once more, outside of my bailiwick, not something I do. So I understand she's headed for a rheumatologist. So let's hope that the rheumatologist will handle this problem for her.
Okay. I was wondering. I've heard that term before. Didn't understand everything.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a phone call headed to Tacoma. Bob is on the line. Hi there, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, that was good. Hi. Hey, I'm a 71-year-old guy, and I'm very fit. I don't take any prescription medications. I run and work out every day. I'm very fit, like I said. Anyway, I started getting this thing about a year ago. Wake up in the morning and I have phlegm in my throat. Can't clear my throat. Won't go down, won't come up. It just stays there. It's like glue. And so it's kind of got increasingly worse. I've seen two ENTs. one said, well, take the prednisone for 6 days. And I was really reluctant. He said, that'll do it. That didn't do it. And another one thought I had COPD, which I knew in my heart I didn't. I'm a retired paramedic. I know I shouldn't have COPD. And he prescribed a spray for COPD, which when I read the side effects and everything, I'm not taking this stuff. I had a CAT scan on my sinuses, no inflammation. I got a deviated septum. I've tried apple cider vinegar. I've tried everything on God's green earth, over the counter and home remedies. You name it, I've tried it. And I still cannot clear my throat. So yesterday, I went so bad I was out for a run that I broke a blood vessel on the soft tissue under my eyeball. So I'm at my wit's end. I'm seeing a pulmonologist as a last resort next month. So I had an x-ray and lungs are clear. My sats, my oxygen sats are 99. Yesterday I had an appointment with another doctor. And so what you got any ideas?
Yeah, a few. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Dry skin? Was that a no or a yes?
Yep, well, you dropped out,
no,
Bob.
No.
Okay.
You know, because I think of dry skin, itching. Do you need your deodorant or do you still stink when you sweat?
No, I don't stink at all and I don't use deodorant.
Yeah, okay. So that tells me it's part of the answer. Yeah, most guys by 70s, we don't sweat. Well, we sweat, we don't stink. And we don't need deodorant anymore because we're headed towards that musty old person smell instead of the youthful stench of ripeness.
Okay.
As you're aging and as your anabolic hormone load is declining, all of those secretory glands start kicking out less and less stuff. If you exercise, you'll still sweat. But the oil glands that produce the stuff the bacteria grow in to cause us to smell, that BO of our youth, goes away. And usually our skin is getting drier. That's why I ask about dry skin or itching. I'd be interested to run your DHEA and your testosterone level because I'm guessing those are getting down to old man levels. And if we move those back up, the good news is you'll start making moister mucus. You won't have that thick, thick secretions anymore. But the downside is you will also start kicking more oil out in your skin. You'll start needing your deodorant again, but you'll be easier to make muscle mass and strength and energy. Because the most common cause for this is an anabolic hormone decline. Because all the other things, the allergies and stuff that everybody thinks of first have already been ruled out. So, you know, if you don't have allergies, you don't have infections, you don't have sinus blockages, yeah, it's just aging. It's the anabolic hormone decline of age.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I was on to something. I thought maybe sulfates was doing it because I like to have a glass of wine at night. And so I started to aerate that, and then I stir it with a spoon, and that's supposed to remove the sulfates, whether it works or not. It seemed to do something. Another thing is, when I'm sleeping at night, no problems at all. It's not until I get up. And then if I go out for a walk right now, I just got back from the gym and got out of the pool. If I go out for a walk, I'll start. It's like a faucet goes on in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, when you get
out
of the pool,
blowing stuff out of my nose as I'm walking, and it's just, so you don't think it's an allergy?
Well, it sounds like you've already had people address the allergies. If it was allergy, the prednisone should have knocked that down big time. Because prednisone is probably the most potent anti-allergy drug we've got. So he hits you with a with a sledgehammer there for allergies, and if it didn't work, it didn't work. That tells me it's probably not an allergy.
It didn't work.
Yeah, you know, if when you're going to the gym, if you get out, if they've got a steam room, A few minutes in the steam room would probably, you know, the extra moisture, you're breathing wet air, would probably help clear that mucus.
So you think it's a testosterone level thing? And of course, I've come to the conclusion I'm 71 years old, and this is just what it is.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's part of aging. Anabolic hormones, the pregnenolone, testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone are probably all low. And that makes us dry up and wither. Yep.
All right. Thank you for that, Bob.
Thank you for the call, Bob.
Okay. Hope you got some good information there.
You remember when you were young, you walked in your great grandma's house and you had that musty old folks smell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that, the attic. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's because, again, the anabolic hormones had declined to the point that instead of getting that juicy BO that we had as adolescents, you transition to the old folks smell.
Wow. I kind of like the middle folks smell. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Good. Woo. All right. Well, we are coming up on a break. We will take a quick break and we will be back with more of your questions. We have plenty of room for you on our call queue. Here is that number, 206-421-5757. Stay right there. We'll be back.